Lecture topic, steadfastness through love.
This is the Kitab Khazain-e Ma'rifat wa Mohabbat. Fazlat Maulana Shah Haki Maud Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, which is a compilation of all his different malfuzat, his statements and advices, and excerpts from some talks that he had given. So in one of the majalis, this was a majlis that took place in June 1969. So in June 1969, perhaps many who are present here were not around. So these people gave their lives in service to Deen and in passing on the message of Deen to everybody. So any case, in this particular majlis, so college ke ek talib ilm hazir hue, one person who was studying in a university, he also had come. So inse darya farmaya ke aapko jo maamulat bataye the pure kar rahe hai. Hazrat asked him that the ma'amulat that were prescribed to you, what you were told to do daily, your daily dhikr, etc., what ma'amulat were prescribed to you, are you completing them? To arz kiya jiha, kalima tayyiba ki jo miqdar aapne batayi thi, rozana pura kar leta hu. So this student said, yes, I am completing whatever you had prescribed to me, kalima tayyiba, whatever else it might have been. So upon this, Hazrat then said, ha, ye bahut zaruri hai. That this is extremely necessary, that you complete these ma'amulat, these recitations. This is very necessary. And then Hazrat further explained, Allah ka naam lene se noor paida hota hai. Aur ta'at aasan ho jati hai. By taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, this creates noor in the heart. And when noor develops in the heart, then obedience becomes easy. When noor develops in the heart, then obedience becomes easy. This obedience is referring to every level of obedience. Whether it's obedience in terms of the fulfilling of the commands of Allah Ta'ala, person was probably feeling lethargic and lazy to perform his salah, to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, other aspects. So this will become easy. Likewise, staying away from sin, that too is an ibadat, and a very great ibadat, very necessary ibadat. So this noor of the heart to refrain from what Allah has forbidden, that too becomes easy. Then there's ta'at externally, there's also ta'at internally. The obedience of Allah Ta'ala that is related to the heart. Keeping the heart in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, keeping the heart clean from all the maladies of the heart. All this is part of this ta'at. Ta'at is comprehensive, everything that relates to Allah Ta'ala's obedience. So when a person is remembering Allah Ta'ala, he's fulfilling these ma'amulat, it creates noor in the heart, and then this results in ta'at and obedience of Allah Ta'ala becoming easy. Jo shakhs ma'amulat pure nahi karta, to zulmat paida hone lagti hai. And the person doesn't complete his ma'amulat, his zikr, his tilawat, his adha amal. The outcome of this is that darkness starts settling in the heart. Because a lack of light is darkness. So now when what brings light, when that is not there, there's no lamp on in a place, there's no candle there, there's no light on. So the lack of light is darkness. So this brings darkness. Ta'at chutne lagti hai. And as a result, the acts of righteousness starts falling off. So a person was probably making his salah with jama'ah, with regularity, not ever missing it. But now he stopped his ma'mulat, the impact of that starts coming onto his salah with jama'ah gets affected, other things get affected. Sheikh ke paas jaane se ji churata hai. He no more feels inclined to go into the gathering of his sheikh, to go and be in the company of the sheikh. That too now will be something he'll try to stay out of it. Qaida hai ki har jins apni jins ko apni taraf khinchti hai. Kabutar kabutar ke saath rehta hai aur baaz baaz ke saath. Kabutar ba kabutar, baaz ba baaz. Iski wajah jins ki kashish hai. That everything, there's a rule that everything is attracted to its own kind. So there's a well-known saying in Urdu that pigeons fly with pigeons and hawks will fly with hawks. So you won't find a pigeon flying with hawks. And you won't find hawks in the company of a whole lot of pigeons. Pigeons fly with pigeons. In other words, the kind of person one is, that's where he'll find the attraction to be in. So now when a person has started missing out on his ma'mulat, ma'mulat chutne se kyunki zulmat paida hoti hai, is wajah se noor walo ke paas uska dil nahi lagta. So now when a person due to missing out on his ma'mulat, the darkness that comes in the heart, now as a result of this, he doesn't find any inclination to be in the company of people of noor, because his heart is filled with zulmat. So now to be in the company of people whose hearts are filled with noor, he feels very uncomfortable. The bat, they say, feels very uncomfortable in light. So now, give it darkness and it's very, very happy. Put it in a place of light and many other things. As soon as light comes, it goes scurrying out of the way. Doesn't feel comfortable in light. In darkness it'll come out, it'll creep out of its places. So this is it, that when there's noor in the heart, then that noor makes a person feel attracted to where there's noor. And if there is zulmat in the heart, then that person will be attracted and inclined to places where there's zulmat. So this is a law that everything goes by, that what is a person's situation, what is his nature, that's where he'll be attracted to. اور جو شخص اللہ اللہ کر کے نور حاصل کر لیتا ہے اس کا دل کہیں نہیں لگتا سوائے اللہ والوں کی صحبت کے. And the one who has attained نور in his heart through the ذکر of اللہ تبارک و تعالی, then his heart doesn't feel comfortable anywhere but in the company of the pious, in the company of اللہ والا, that's where he will feel comfortable. Otherwise his heart will feel very very uncomfortable in such gatherings. He will not want to go to where the pious are. He will look for places that, or things to do that are of a different nature. He'll rather maybe spend his time in some futile activity, spend his time in maybe, he'll be playing around on his phone maybe, he'll do some other things. He'll feel more inclined to all that rather than being inclined towards where there is some noor. There's one Farsi saying which Rum Rahmatullah Alayhi Hazrat quotes, his one couplet, Nuriya mar nuriya rajaziband, noor walo ko noor wale apni taraf khinchte hai. That when there's noor, then that noor will draw noor towards it. Agar kabhi ta'at mein tasahul hone lage اور شیخ کے پاس جانے میں وحشت محسوس ہونے لگے, تو سمجھ لو کہ یا تو معمولات چھوٹ رہے ہیں یا کسی گناہ میں مبتلا ہو رہے ہو. Says when a person starts finding that there is some lethargy in doing righteous deeds, there's laziness, can't seem to get oneself up, or he feels even not even inclined to now go into the gatherings of the sheikh, then to think carefully on this, that either one's ma'mulat have been neglected, one is getting involved in some sin, as a result of which that zulmat is in the heart. Now that zulmat in the heart is becoming a barrier. that is becoming an obstacle in going to environments of noor. Toba kar lo aur kaam mein lag jao. So the solution to that is to make sincere toba and then force oneself and get back into what has to be done. That will then open the way. Now this is a very, very important aspect that is discussed here, that this noor that comes in the heart through these amal, through the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through all the various other practices that are prescribed to us, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif is at the top of the list, nawafil, etc. So this is often just considered as a good thing, but that's where it finishes off in our mind. Whereas this is actually generating noor in the heart. Now, this noor is not something we can see with our physical eyes, but there are those who Allah Ta'ala blesses them with that insight, they perceive that too. They perceive the zulmat, they perceive this noor as well. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he stated about him that sometimes person would come into his gathering, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, somebody would come into his gathering or came into his gathering who had misused his gaze outside. So now by that time, far and wide, deen had spread and many people had now come newly into deen. So somebody came in the gathering and he had misused his gaze outside. So Usman radiallahu ta'ala, in a very general way, because their purpose is never to humiliate anybody. And that should never be done. Because to humiliate somebody is to actually draw down Allah's wrath upon oneself. A person has to be corrected, but corrected in the correct way. And never to look down upon anybody, and neither to humiliate someone. Looking down upon someone, that is pride. Allah Ta'ala detests pride. And to look down upon somebody is to, so to say, write him off, that this person is write off. We don't know our tomorrow, we don't know his tomorrow. So the wrong is wrong, but you can't write off anybody. So, in a very general way, he said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَتَرَشَّهُ مِنْ أَعْيُنِهِمُ الزِّنَا. What is the matter with some people? Now he just generalized it. Nobody knew who he's referring to, or what he's referring to. مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ. What is the matter with some people? That zina is actually dripping from their eyes. Now, he perceived it, whoever it might have been, he acknowledged it, therefore it then became known that this is where the reference was. But he didn't make any indication towards who he was referring to, but he perceived something. Now where he perceived it from, how come he managed to perceive this way, how can this be seen with the physical eye? So this is a level of basirat. Basirat, that insight, that Allah Ta'ala blesses people of true iman of a very high level, that they could see these things which are not normally visible to people. It's not something that can be normally seen. But this is on that level. So he perceived it and he made a statement that was on the dot, because somebody then acknowledged and confessed, yes, this was my problem. So this noor that comes in the heart, we don't see it physically, but this is the light that then guides a person. When there's that fuel in something, it can move, it now can be driven. Without that fuel, it's stuck. With this noor, this is the fuel of the heart. And when that heart is fueled in this manner, now it's easy for the heart, is king, the heart to be inclined towards noor, the body will move easily in that direction. In the light of that noor of the heart, a person will be able to distinguish what is correct, what is incorrect, what is right, what is wrong. And if there's darkness in the heart, now in a room that is totally dark, now a person is being told, that watch out, this very harmful insect is right there by you, or whatever. He can't see it, but he's in darkness. Or somebody is about to attack you, but he can't see it. See what you're talking about, I don't know. Doesn't make sense to him. If he has a lot of confidence in whoever is saying it, he might still just take precaution. But otherwise, he'll just dismiss it. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't come and try to just frighten me. I can't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Now why? Because he can't see, it's dark. So in the darkness, when he cannot see, and if he doesn't have that level of confidence, he'll dismiss it. So likewise, in the zulmat of the heart, the harm of things can't be seen. And the heart is engulfed in zulmat and darkness. Now somebody is explaining, but look, this is a very serious matter. This is very harmful. This is very detrimental. This will cause so much of problems in your life. This will capsize everything for you. I heard these stories before also. This kind of stories carries on. And I got everything all, don't worry. I know how to sort myself out. And to the extent that where this clear-cut, blatant haram, and people will just dismiss it. There was one incident very recently, and it is something hard to even speak about, but any case, for the ibrat, that where shaitan, to what extent a person can be blinded. So two people got into some, well, whatever you want to call it, but they were living a life of zina. And now many people tried to explain to them that your so-called marriage is not a marriage. This is a haram situation. So, no, we are old enough to decide for ourselves. But now, you claim to be a mu'min. You know, we will decide what we want to do. And Allah Ta'ala is our judge. Now these are used just randomly to hide behind some statements which we don't know what we're saying sometimes, where we're applying it. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, somebody said something once. So he said, kalimatu haqqin urida bihil batil. Kalimatu haqqin, the statement is right. But it is being presented to use it in a batil manner. To try and misuse it for batil. Allah Ta'ala is the judge, that's 100%. But now, what is it being used for? Like a license to carry on doing sin. So indeed Allah Ta'ala is a judge, and the person who blatantly sins in that manner, then he is putting himself in a very, very dangerous situation. Allah forbid, the wrath of Allah can come in that moment. Allah Ta'ala gives respite. But now this is the extent when zulmat engulfs the heart. Something very blatant also, person just becomes blinded, completely blinded by that zulmat. And then that's what becomes the bigger problem, that the person then gets deeper into it, the zulmat gets more, and as a result of greater zulmat, now there's no concern and care for even anything. Life carries on. And this is where the Allah forbid, Allah save us, that the person then is on the border of iman and kufr. It takes one thing afterwards to slip. There was one case not long ago. So now, couple were in some argument. So now in the argument, the person first said something, and then he said something else. So his wife now is saying something, so he's retorting. And then, na'uzubillah, in that, she, Allah knows what she said, so he, I'm not thinking what he's talking or whatever. Now I'll challenge Allah Ta'ala too. Which is a clear statement of kufr. First she might have said, I'll get so-and-so to sort this matter out, rejected that and rejected that. I said, Allah will sort you out. She might have said something like that. Allah knows best what she said. So he blurted out the statement. The effect of that is that imam is gone, nikah is broken. But now this comes from the zulmat. That a person just is blinded to all the realities, the sensitivity of what he's saying, how dangerous those statements are, what kind of direction he's taking. But this all stems from that zulmat. So now outwardly, many things just seem like, okay, very good, mashallah, do it. So if you didn't do it, too, no big problem. But now that not doing it is resulting in darkness. Doing it was bringing, because all the time we're exposed to so many things that are creating darkness. Now the lack of what brings light, that is resulting in more darkness. And then as the zulmat grows, then the disinclination starts towards righteousness. The inclination starts creeping in towards wrong deeds. Then that cycle starts. So this is the very, very fundamental importance of all the amal. Every sunnah that we have the opportunity to do, that should never ever be just, and many sunnahs, there's no such thing as a small sunnah, but there are many very easy sunnahs. There's no such thing as a small sunnah. Every sunnah is very great. But some are very, very easy. Some might require a little bit more effort. But some are so simple that it is not going to take any additional effort to do what one will in any case be doing. But now, for example, in Salah itself, in Salah there are 51 sunnats in Salah. Now, if a person is conscious about what he's doing, how he's doing it, in any case he's going to do it. Now, for example, Takbir at-Tahrima, he's going to make Takbir at-Tahrima. He's going to raise his hands. Now, he just raised his hands without any consciousness. So, his hands were now facing any direction. And instead of that, he just took care to make his palms face towards Qibla and bring his hands in line with his earlobes. What additional effort it took. How much additional time it took. How much more it cost him? 1 cent, 10 cents? Nothing. Didn't cost him anything financially. Didn't take any additional time. No additional effort. Maybe because he wasn't doing it for so long, so now a little bit more muscles will get used maybe. That's a good thing for him in any case. So, he did the action, but by just doing it in that manner that was the sunnah manner, just taking care to make sure that his palms are facing Qibla, his fingers are in the right place, the thumb in line with the ear lobe, and the rest of the fingers in line with the ear, and the fingers in the normal position. Already these are so many sunnats applied in just the Takbir at-Tahrima. Now every sunnat is to be understood like one huge flood lamp that has flooded the heart with nur. When it's done in the sunnah manner with that consciousness that this is the sunnah, this is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's manner of doing this action. So now this is going to create nur in the heart. And that nur in the heart brings spiritual strength. So now to the extent that now he took care of how to fulfill all the fulfilling all the sunnats of salah, in one salah alone, what will be the extent of nur that will be developed in the heart? Now he still fulfilled all those postures, but by being neglectful of the sunnah, just performed it in any way, his feet are, instead of facing the toes towards Qibla, he got it 10 past 10 and his ruku, sajda, just done, just going through the motions, not being conscious and careful that to do it in the sunnah manner. So now he decreased that nur tremendously. Allah forbid then if he cut it so short that even the wajib didn't get fulfilled, then this is gone in the red. Like for example, now he came up after ruku and didn't even fulfill the wajib duration for qawma. Qawma is a standing posture after ruku. So now to stand in that posture for the duration of one tasbih is wajib. Now without even that duration, he was already gone. Barely just lifted his head and gone down. Or from one sajda, barely lifted his head and gone to the next. So now that, let alone the sunnah getting fulfilled, even the wajib got neglected. That is gone in the red. No noor left. But now he took the care to fulfill the sunnah as well. So now every posture done in that manner is filling the heart with noor. This becomes a means of taking him, making it easier in every matter. Those ta'at and those acts of obedience become very easy. Staying away from things that are going to harm him spiritually. Like a person in a light can see that insect, can see that snake, can see what is harming him. So he takes precautions, takes his whatever he can do to save himself. So likewise in this noor, he sees what's harmful, what's coming towards him, what's tempting him towards harm and destruction. So now that noor helps him to refrain from that, stay away from it. So these are the things that we have to increase and to try and make sure that we never neglect our ma'mulat, our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, our zikr, tasbihat, nawafil, etc. These are not just by the way things. These are very, very important. Yes, in the categorization of things, it's nafil, but that doesn't mean it's just by the way. It's extremely important. This is spiritual food for ourselves. This is what we need for our souls. In another malfooz, Hazrat once stated, Zamana ek rukh baha ja raha hai. Phir zamana ke khilaaf chalne ki quwwat kaise paida ho? Iman kamil kaise hasil ho? She said, the times that we live in, everything is just going in one direction. Like a tsunami, just going in one direction. So now the direction, obvious what direction it's all going into. There's a direction of just materialism, the direction of just immorality and sin, entertainment of every sort, and entertainment that has got, that doesn't leave any shred of haya. So, doesn't mean that only that level of entertainment is haram. Whatever is haram is haram. But where it's going from bad to worse and worse to even worse. But that's the direction it's going in. Whether it's dressing, whether it's some other things, how people conduct themselves. And then, in day-to-day life, the way of the Yahud and Nasara. So now this is the way things are just flowing at a fast pace. Now in the midst of all this, how does a person gain the courage and the strength to swim against the tide? Now this is where this whole flood is going through, in that direction. And in the midst of this flood, to swim against the tide. Not an easy thing. But that's what's to be done. There's no other option. If a person wants to save himself, because this flood is heading in the direction of destruction, so he's going to have to swim against the tide. So where is he going to get the courage from? And in the midst of this, how is he going to gain that iman e kamil, that perfect iman? From every direction, anti-iman things are all happening. And now he still wants to try and gain this iman e kamil. Bas iska ek hi rasta hai, kisi Allah wale ke paas reh paro. Iman ka adna darja to har mu'min ko hasil hai, zarurat to kamal iman ki hai. Rasta to wilayat ka hai. Iman ke adna darja par qanaat karne ka nahi. There's only one way, and that one way is to attach oneself to some Allah wala. To attach oneself to somebody who is a person of Allah ta'ala. Who wants hard things to attach oneself. As far as the lowest level of iman, then every mu'min has that much. It's not a matter of just being content on having the lowest level of iman. It's a matter of becoming a friend of Allah Ta'ala. to gaining wilayat. That is the goal, to become the true friend of Allah Ta'ala. So iman ka kamal hasil hoga kisi Allah wale ke paas rehne se. That kamal and that perfection in iman will come by being in the company of the Allah walas. Jo log har waqt fasiqo aur nafarmano ke paas baithte hai, dar hai ki kahi wo bhi inhi jaise na ban jaye. When a person is in the company of people who are involved in sin, people who are involved in other kinds of, well, sin and wrong actions, then when a person keeps this company often, then the fear is he'll become like that. Hazrat then gives one example that we often mention. One person went away to live in one place where people all had the tips of their nose cut. So now that's a very odd sight and a very, very strange situation that everybody's nose is cut. So they got all abnormal noses basically. Now he was the one with the perfect nose. But now when he got there, they all started laughing at him. But look at this abnormal nose. So he had the normal nose, but in the land of the abnormal, the normal is abnormal. So he was normal, he was perfect. In the land of the corrupted, then being straight is a crime. Everybody is corrupted and somebody is trying to be straight. So his trying to be straight is a crime. One person working somewhere, so now he was making sure that everything happens correctly. Was being very, very upright and honest, working in whatever place it might have been. So now people working in that department were trying to do their own thing, but he was now the obstacle because he didn't want to be part of any corruption. So he became a huge problem for them. His honesty became a crime in their eyes. As a result, they started now working behind the scenes to get rid of him. But this person, he is a problem. Why is a problem? Because he's honest. So his honesty became a problem. So in the environment of corruption, honesty becomes a problem. So this is unfortunately the upside down system that then happens. So likewise now this person with the perfect nose, he's now in the company of all the people who are with their noses cut. So they started laughing at him. Because to be perfect in the land of imperfection, that is a problem. So when this carried on for a while, so he then started thinking to himself, maybe, but these people, their condition is, that's probably right. How they are with their noses cut, that's probably what's the right thing to be. So he went and cut his nose also. Now this is an expression when a person humiliates himself, he cut his nose. When a person disgraces himself, he cut his own nose. So now that's what exactly happened. And what we end up doing, that in the company of people who are in the wrong direction, we get washed away also. Say, no, well, everybody is drifting in this way, so I also have to drift in the same direction. But to swim upstream, that himmat comes from being in the company of pious people. Then a person doesn't pay attention to who is saying what. He is only concerned about what is going to be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Then, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They don't fear the rebuke of those who rebuke them when they are trying to do that which will please Allah Ta'ala. So they've inquired what's the right thing to do, and now they go ahead and do it. Then people will have their stories, people will have some statements to make, people will have some comments. Whatever people want to say, they will say. But this will not deter the person who is determined to do what is right. But otherwise, get swept away with the floodwaters. Where all the dirt finishes off, finish off same place. So this is the message Hazrat is giving, that a person who sits in this kind of company, then eventually the fear is he might end up doing the same. So therefore, the right thing to do is to remain in the company of pious. How will this friendship of Allah Ta'ala be acquired? So Allah Ta'ala Himself has given the prescription, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ Allah walo ke saath reh paro. Then be in the company of the sadiqeen, the truthful, the righteous. Reh parne ka matlab ye hai ke mustaqil inki sohbat ikhtiyar karo. Ye nahi ke aaj aagaye, uske baad mahino ko ghaib ho gaye, phir kabhi ji chaha to ho aaye, nahi, balki inke paas jaane ka maamool bana lo. I was explaining what does it mean to be with. It doesn't mean that a person went one day and then for 2 months he disappeared, then he went again for one day. No, there should be a constant ma'mool, a practice of going in their company and benefiting from the sohbat of the pious. This is the way that a person will get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter further Hazrat says, جو اللہ والوں کے پاس نہیں رہتے چاہے خود اپنے طور پر بھی عبادت بھی کرتے ہو مگر انہیں استقامت نصیب نہیں ہوتی. Now these are things which are stated in the light of not years, decades of experience and in light of the deep knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. So that is the first source actually, the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. And then together with that, the deep experience over decades. So what is being stated? That the one who doesn't accompany the pious, even though he would be involved in ibadat on his own accord, it is difficult to gain istiqamat. It is difficult to gain istiqamat. It doesn't mean that it is impossible, but yes, very difficult. Kyunki baghair sohbat ke Allah ki mohabbat dil mein nahi aa sakti aur baghair mohabbat ke istiqamat naseeb nahi hoti. The reason for this is, without the company of the pious, the true love of Allah Ta'ala is not acquired. And without the love of Allah Ta'ala, istiqamat cannot be acquired. Istiqamat is the outcome of muhabbat. Kyunki baghair sohbat ki Allah ki muhabbat dil mein puri nahi aa sakti aur baghair muhabbat ki istiqamat sakht dushwar balki namumkin hai. Therefore Hazrat is now reiterating it, that without the sohbat and company of the pious, Allah's muhabbat can't be acquired fully in the heart, and without the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, istiqamat is a very, very difficult thing. And sometimes impossible. Hazrat then gives one example. Pratapgad mein ek sahab ko dekha, unka ek ruku itni der ka hota tha ki hum char rakat par le. There was one person in Pratapgad, the village where Hazrat used to live. He said, I should observe this person. His ruku used to be so long that in the time he used to just make ruku, somebody else will finish their 4 rakats. His ruku will still be carrying on. Chehra dari se bhara hua tha. His entire face was covered with his beard, mashallah, full beard. Saalo tak aisi namaze parte rahe. Years he carried on in this way. Then suddenly, once after some time, phir jo dekha, to dari saaf thi. Aur namaze ghaib ho gayi. Sometime later, suddenly once, notice this person, beard is gone. And no namaz also. Now what happened? So malum hua ke dhari isliye rakhi hui thi ki ek gaal pichka hua tha. Now came to know that at that time when he had his beard, it was because he kept a beard because whatever might be some illness or something, one cheek had sunken in. So now he put a full beard, so it covers up that. Aur namaz isliye padte the ki sihat kharab thi. As far as his punctuality on salah and such long ruku, because he had some strange illness, so now he was very ill. Jab Allah Ta'ala ne sihat de di, sare amal chut gaye. After some time passed, some years passed, Allah Ta'ala removed that illness, gave him good health. Good health came, his salah went away. So what was his salah for? Afsos ke gaal ke liye namaz padta tha, kisi Allah wale ki sohbat mil jati, to Allah ke liye par leta. That it is what a sad situation that he was performing his salah for his cheek, because the cheek something happened, that some illness that sunk in. So the beard also was for the cheek, and that lengthy rakats also was for to get cure out of this illness. So it doesn't mean that a person who's ill, a person has some difficulty, some problem, he must not make dua to Allah Ta'ala, not make salatul haja and beg Allah Ta'ala's help. But here all the ibadat was happening for the sihat, was happening only for health. Had he gained the company of some pious person, he would have made all his ibadat for Allah Ta'ala. With health or without health. In conditions of prosperity or poverty. Whether it is happiness or sadness. Whether it is any condition, but the person who has that connection with Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't worship the conditions. He worships Allah Ta'ala. He worships the creator of the conditions. So whether the condition is favorable for him or unfavorable for him, he worships Allah Ta'ala. Once there was something happened, so one person got very upset with the other person. Now both of them used to attend the same masjid. Now there was some, whatever happened, whether some dispute or some matter, so both of them used to attend the same masjid. So this one person suddenly disappeared now. No more in the masjid. Somebody asked him what happened. So eventually it came out, no, there's a problem with so-and-so. So he said, well, the problem with so-and-so, but what happened about you were regular in the masjid? So he says, no, well, he also is in the same masjid. He said, but did the masjid fight with you? You got a dispute with the masjid? He says, no, I don't have any dispute with the masjid. So what has the masjid done to you that you abandoned the masjid? You abandoned Allah Ta'ala's house. So the problem was that attendance to the masjid also was probably because of some other motive. Maybe this friendship, mashallah, was very good. And now this friend was very punctual in the masjid. So now, if he's going to the masjid, how I'm going to go in a different direction. But now that friendship broke, chalo, no more now, I don't have to go to the masjid for his sake anymore. Because it was for his sake. So now this is the tragedy. That when the right intention is not there, the amal is carrying on for years. But when the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is missing, then that will happen for years sometimes for the wrong purpose. It's carrying on for years, but misdirected. And therefore when the condition changes, it suddenly just collapses. Because it wasn't done for Allah Ta'ala. So something done for Allah, all the halat are from Allah Ta'ala. So he will still do that which pleases Allah Ta'ala in every condition. One of the, was it Urwa bin Zubayr, one of his sons. So it happened on that something happened and one of his legs had to be amputated, or his foot had to be amputated. So the foot was amputated. It so happened that on that same day, one of his four sons passed away. There was some tragedy, some mishap, and in that one son passed away. Now the same day, he lost one son, and he lost one foot. Now a person who is worshipping halat, so now everything is going very well, everything is very, very prosperous, so mashallah, he's also turning to Allah Ta'ala. And then when it's the other way around, then now he's got something else in his mind and heart. But now he suffered these two tragedies on the same day. So late at night, somebody was curious to know, now how is he taking this? How is he handling this situation? So now, they saw him, he was busy making dua late in the night. They came to closer. So I can overhear him saying, "Allah, I had 4 sons. You only took 1, you left 3 for me, son. Ya Allah, I had 4 limbs," meaning 2 hands and 2 feet. "Out of these 4, you left 3 with me. You only took 1. So still making shukr for the 3 sons that are still alive, and making shukr for the other 3, the 2 hands and 1 foot that is still present, rather than focusing on what is gone and making that the main focus. Human nature to feel the grief of this, that pain is human nature, but the manner in which the mind is being directed, we can't control that grief coming in the heart, because that is involuntary. It's not in a person's control that I will only allow 10% grief to come. I'll only allow 5% grief to come. That's something beyond his control, how much grief comes. But it is his control of how he channels his thinking at that time. So either that 20% grief can feel like 120%. If he makes his, that like the end of everything, that now there's nothing else left to live for because of what has happened. So now that 20% grief will feel like 120%. And it might be very severe, but how he channels his thoughts, how he thinks at that time, may make that very severe matter feel very small. Not that it's gone, it's there. So now he channeled his thinking in this manner, on shukr, being conscious of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats. And as a result, now this thinking, how he channels his mind. We mentioned this 2-3 times now in the recent past. Somebody just was explaining he lives in Dubai, and mashallah, he's doing a lot of work there. He's got an Islamic center, and people who come into deen new, then they come, many of them come there to accept Iman, take the Shahadat, and then the classes and whatever else. So in the recent past, there's several lessons to take in this. There's 2 people in the past 1.5-2 months, 2 people became Muslim, both from the UK. Whites from the UK, both became Muslim in the same month. Neither was aware of the other. Both very wealthy, super wealthy. And both became Muslim. So they were searching, they were reading up and so on. So he asked both of them at different times, they became Muslim at different times, asked both of them that what became the catalyst to get closer to deen. You started searching, but something might have brought this in you that you want to look more into Islam. Sometimes it could have just been somebody just woke up and Allah Ta'ala inspired his heart. It happens like that. Somebody saw some dream. But generally, it is something external. Person read something, heard something, or some external factor. Both people, the thing that attracted them towards Islam was the good akhlaq of a Muslim. Some Muslim who they were interacting with, some colleague, some work they had with somebody on an extended period of time, and the akhlaq of that person. That became the initial attraction towards Islam. Then the person started now they were in their fields quite highly educated and so on, so they decided to start searching and studying and so on. And eventually both became Muslim. Now this whole incident came to mind on this note about thinking. So now this one person came to him about a month now after he accepted Islam. So he started telling him that ever since I accepted Islam, on the surface of things, his challenges come. He says everything is going wrong. Business-wise, everything is suddenly, major deals are just falling apart. On the domestic front, his wife wants to kick him out now because he became Muslim. So many other things started happening. So now he's saying that I'm thinking, now what do I tell him? This person is a Muslim for 1 month still, and suddenly all these things are happening in his life. And he is expressing it in that way, that from the time I became Muslim, suddenly all this is being haywire. So instead of telling him something, he asked him, so what are you going to do? So he said that the devil is whispering, I'm not going to listen. The devil is whispering, I'm not going to listen. Now when somebody has sincere talab, Allah Ta'ala inspires his heart. That look, what is happening is a challenge. And now shaitan is going to put it in your mind to try and wrongfully link it. Since when this all started? That nauzubillah, all this is the result of you taking this step. Now shaitan is going to put all this in the mind that this is the wrong step you took, nauzubillah. Because otherwise there was no problem. But that is the test of iman. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثَا Or the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ Think you're not going to be tested? Tests come in different ways. And everything is a test. Prosperity is a test. And poverty is also a test. And all the halat that come. The thing is, when the noor of the heart is there, the person recognizes the test. And when the noor of the heart is there, then he understands how to deal with the test. But if the noor of the heart is missing, that way we started off right at the beginning, the noor and zulmat, the zulmat in the heart, he doesn't even recognize the test to be a test. Rather, he takes it in a different direction. Now this person, 1 month in Islam, and he recognized this is a test. And in this he recognized, he's saying the devil is whispering, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to the devil. Shaitani waswasa this is. Subhanallah, this person in 1 month gained that level of iman which sometimes lifelong people don't see. So now the point is that how a person thinks at that moment, where does he channel his thoughts? So this is the message and the lesson in all this, that a person wants to be getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, wants that istiqamat. That istiqamat comes from where? It comes from mahabbat. And that mahabbat comes from where? And the prescription for that is to be in the company of Ahlullah. Otherwise, that ibadat too will carry on for years. But then because it was for the wrong purpose, the underlying issue, not that a person was doing it to show off, but why he became suddenly very conscious of salah? Only because there was a financial problem. Because of the financial problem. Now if he, with that financial problem, doesn't mean that now mustn't perform salah. If he wasn't performing salah before that, if this jolted him, then no, obviously if this became a wake-up call, alhamdulillah. But if he's only going to perform salah because of the financial issue, then Allah forbid when that situation changes, the salah will go away. So this is that lesson that is being given by going in the right company and developing the mahabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Then whatever became the wake-up call, but that won't be the point where it will be stuck at. That will become just a catalyst. But now it will drive him to the reality. And now the reality is that he is doing it for Allah Ta'ala alone. Now if the condition changes in any other direction too, it won't change this connection with Allah Ta'ala. So this is the underlying matter. That a person has to gain the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is what will develop istiqamat. And when istiqamat comes, then nothing will change it. Nothing will shake this. So these are the lessons that we have to take from the life of these pious people. The developing of the noor in the heart. This will come from the right a'mal. The dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. These are things taken for granted. By the way, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Ma'a Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, his last Ramadan of his life, the personality, this is perhaps no exaggeration, that after the Quran Sharif, after maybe some hadith kitab as well, perhaps Bukhari Sharif or some other hadith kitabs also probably, perhaps the book that is read most in the world is the Fazail Amal. And it's not hard to work it out with the, alhamdulillah, the effort of Dawud. This ta'lim has come alive in, one can, without fear of any exaggeration being involved in it. Hundreds of thousands of homes throughout the world. How many languages it has been translated. This kitab is really a karamat. But unfortunately, people who are far away from the reality have unfounded issues with it, doubts. They start making all kinds of assumptions about it. Many a person say, what's in here? You know, the hadith is da'if. Okay, what's the definition of da'if? Bichara doesn't know what's the definition of da'if. He is so da'if himself in this regard that he hasn't any idea of what is the definition of da'if. So da'if maybe means that it's like a weak person now. So a weak person, so is a weak person dead? Can't walk. So now in some things, a weak person also can do a lot. Some things maybe he can't do a lot. It's a very, very simple understanding that weak hadith is a classification. For example, if you want to establish a rule, a law of deen, a hukam of sharia, then that hadith must be of a certain category. And if it is something relating to an incident, there's no law of deen to be deduced from it, then it can be at a level that is of a certain category. Now a person doesn't have any idea about the science of hadith, and he's making now, like a person doesn't have any idea about medicine, and he wants to start diagnosing. And that too, diagnosing on a specialist level. Person doesn't have any idea about engineering. One person had worked as an assistant somewhere. So then he became eventually a handyman in somebody's one. So one day they had to do some, put up what like a kind of some stand, hang stand or something. So he said, no, I know all this. So he drew one small little diagram and he X, Y and 2Y, whatever all this, he wrote it there. He said, no, this is just order this. So the person who he first got a little bit impressed, and then he was, you see, this is, I would have had to go and get pay so much for this. So, mashallah, work got done. Then he just, for whatever it was worth, he decided to ask an engineer. So he sent that to him. He says, this is what we're going to do, and this is the diagram we already got. So he looked at it and he said, this will crash within a few days. This will not stand, it won't hold that weight even for a few days. Now this person is not an engineer, he wants to now cast slabs. So now he is going to bring destruction and cause major problem. Now unfortunately this is, we digress, the time is already running out. The point is, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, we're talking about the caliber of the person. This kitab of his is subhanallah, real karamat. But in any case, that's not the subject right now. The point was that he, his last Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala blessed South Africa. The last Ramadan of his life, he spent in Stanger. And he said, what was the purpose of traveling? He was a person who found it very difficult to travel anywhere in India, short distances too. He was not his tabiyat. In the last year of his life, he traveled to so many countries. And in that weak state, he couldn't even walk. He was paralyzed by that time. Two people have to carry him, put him on a wheelchair, then move him point to point, anything. Totally dependent on everybody's help. But he traveled and came and spent the whole of Ramadan in South Africa, then went from here to Zambia, went to UK, and traveled, I don't know how many places. He said, what was the purpose of all these travels? It was only for one thing, to establish the majalis of zikr. That the zikr of Allah Ta'ala must come alive everywhere. So this was the purpose, that wherever anybody gave any kind of indication to, that they will start off the zikr of Allah Ta'ala regularly, he was ready to travel there, to give them that courage, to give them that support, to bring the zikr of Allah Ta'ala alive. Now this is not just for some gathering. What we do jointly, the gatherings is more just to encourage us to start bringing about some system in place, but this is to be done daily, in our own time and place. Daily our zikr should be happening. There should never be a day that it gets missed. This is the noor of the heart. This is the spiritual food that the heart requires. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.